to be no market for it. People in focus groups weren't asking for it. There wasn't a big demand for it in gourmet stores, and most market researchers would tell you that Americans weren't ready to spend more than the cost of a Tetley for a cup of tea. If you insisted on treating all potential tea drinkers the same, the way Tetley and Lipton did, then you'd lose. Celestial Seasonings had demonstrated that hippies would buy herbal tea, but that was truly a niche. It took brands like the Republic of Tea and Tazo to prove the experts wrong. What these brands discovered, quite profitably, was that there was a significant number of people who share a worldview that said, "I don't want to drink coffee right now, but it would make me feel good to spend something extra to get a hot drink that's really special. That would make me feel like a connoisseur, a treat, because I'm not like the rest of the crowd and I'm worth it." That's exactly the worldview these brands were framed around. They told a complicated story about origins and health and flavor and brewing, and the previously ignored community woke up and paid attention. They framed the tea story like the detailed stories so many people believe about wine, and convinced a substantial portion of the tea and coffee markets to believe the story. Not all ignored worldviews are markets in waiting. They're either too small or too fearful or too much at the fringe. But there are countless groups that are so far being ignored, mainly because conventional wisdom has always ignored them. Some of these groups may be small, but they can take your story and run with it. They can turn a small market into a cult, into a movement, and then a trend, and finally, into a mass market. The power of frames. While targeting the right worldview is essential, the real magic of marketing occurs when you use a frame. A frame allows you to present an idea in a way that embraces the consumer's worldview, not fights it. Frames aren't just a tactic. Frames go to the heart of what marketing is today. If you're unable to tack your idea onto a person's worldview, then that idea will be ignored. File sharing is different than stealing. A picture of Houston's polluted waters and dead birds is just as accurate as one of Houston's skyscrapers and busy shopping malls, but they tell very different stories to very different people. Firearm safety is different from banning handguns, but both phrases are used to advance political agendas. Frames are the words and images and interactions that reinforce a bias someone is already feeling. The media uses frames all the time when telling us stories. When the newspaper calls someone a UFO buff or a conspiracy theorist, they're making it easy for the rest of us to believe that this group is marginal. Politicians are becoming masters of using frames to tell their stories. You pick: fanatical right-wing fundamentalists or people of deeply held religious beliefs. Each phrase is easy to embrace for a community that shares a worldview. Getting in the door. Speaking respectfully to a person's worldview is the price of entry to get their attention. If your message is framed in a way that conflicts with their worldview, you're invisible. A frame is your first step in telling a persuasive story. I'm not recommending that you only tell people what they want to hear, that you pander to their worldview, that marketing is nothing but repeating what people already know. Far from it. Instead, I believe the best marketing stories are told and sold with frames, but ultimately spread to people who are open to being convinced of something brand new. None of the above. Jimmy Carter was the exception that proved the rule. Carter ran for president in much the same way Howard Dean did. He began by appealing to people who were disgusted with the system, who rejected the status quo, who had a worldview that embraced the choice of none of the above. This group obviously responds differently to a candidate than a lifelong Republican or Democrat would. The voters who choose none of the above see different things and tell themselves a different lie. In European countries, this segment of the population is usually able to elect a few members to parliament. It rarely has much influence over policy, but it keeps things interesting. In the United States, though, this group of disaffected but slightly involved voters almost never gets the chance to elect the candidate of their choice as president. Howard Dean saw this group as an opportunity. He told them a story, I'm against the war in Iraq. And he differentiated himself immediately from most of his components. The lie that his target audience told themselves, thoughtful outsider who's just like us, was simple and conveniently ignored a wide range of facts, from geographic issues, Dean was from rural Vermont, not some bustling blue state city, to economic ones. Dean was actually quite financially conservative. The word spread. It was an easy story to share. The none-of-the-above population was electrified and unified by his candidacy. They swamped Meetup.com and filled the internet with adoring blogs. They raised money and mailed letters. The bet that Dean and his people were making was risky but straightforward. They were focused on engaging this group, but they knew they had to make the leap from the none-of-the-above group to the general population. It's the leap you must make as well when you go from introducing an item that's fashionable for one small but passionate group to a much larger group that doesn't share the same interests and prejudices of the first group. This is precisely the same chasm that Geoffrey Moore talks about in his book, Crossing the Chasm, moving from the early adopters to the mass market. What Moore misses is that this isn't a flat, simple curve. In fact, it's a multidimensional mess that occurs across populations and worldviews and markets. Whether you're selling shoes or computers or a candidate, moving your story from one segment of the population to another is the hard part. Dean failed. He failed big and fast. The reason he failed was the very reason he succeeded at first, because he appealed to people who wanted to make a point, not to elect a candidate. The story that wiped out Dean, it was one word, unelectable. The none-of-the-above people were unable to persuade their Democratic friends that Dean could win the general election. The story stopped spreading and stalled. Carter succeeded, but don't bet the lunch money that it will happen again. Insurgents in every market face the same challenge when trying to reach the mass market. You're more likely to succeed as long as you avoid winner-take-all contests. It's so tempting to tell your story to an audience that desperately wants to hear it.